This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Rory McIlroy finally breaks through and wins a Masters. Took some work. I mean, that was an up and down. That was a ride.
He made it more interesting than he needed to.
I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times I was counting my winnings and then just, you know,
poof.
Then watching them go up in smoke.
Yeah.
Over the course of yesterday.
What made you have a hunch to bet McIlroy?
I will tell you right now.
Okay.
My buddy.
Okay. So this isn't even your pick.
No. This is a sick brag, bro. My buddy, his brother-in-law is a golf pro. I watched his Masters bets last year just like, Hit all day long.
Really?
Yes. And I go, let me tail this guy's bets this year.
And he was all on Rory.
He was on Rory.
Huh.
We were on Oberg in the top five, which if you were watching, trust
hell?
Me, let me tell you, I was watching that thing real close. He had the worst 18th hole I've ever seen.
Well,
18 was brutal yesterday for my bets. Rose drills this long ass putt on 18 that I thought had no shot, which is the only reason they went to a playoff. Rory choked away his 5-foot putt, but it wouldn't have mattered
if
Rose didn't drill that putt a few holes prior, and Oberg just melted down on the 18th hole. So anyway, no, it was not. It was I would take no credit for hitting on Rory.
You got it.
But you know, you watched the back and forth, the high drama yesterday, and I'm curious if people are happy for Rory McIlroy. And you know, I was happy because I hit my bet. There is something, though, Keith, in my rooting interest where I like things to just stay status quo. I like to know that Rory McIlroy could never break through on the biggest stage.
Gotcha.
And you're a choker on the biggest stage.
Yeah,
like that's my reality. That's what I've lived
like
in.
Sergio for a while,
that's
right?
That's the world. Exactly. That's the world I want to continue to live in. I don't need Sergio Garcia breaking through and winning a major. I like living in a world where he chokes and craps his pants in a big spot. I like living in a world where I know Rory McIlroy won't come through in a big spot. And so I'm curious if people are happy for him breaking through and being the sixth to ever do it in golf history. And I'm curious if you take away anything like Scheim does because of the up and down nature of yesterday. I mean, he goes in as the leader. He gags that away in one hole. He has a 5-stroke lead at one point, chokes that away. He whiffs on a 5-foot putt on 18 to close out the Masters. And then he comes back and he answers the bell every single time. He falls behind. He wasn't just dealing with DeChambeau, which is what it looked like early.
Mm-hmm.
He had to deal with Rose late. At one point, Oberg had a chance to putt for the lead when all three of them were tied at 10 under or whatever it was. At every point, he had to answer the bell, which you give him credit for. And right from his opening round, he was cruising, 2 double bogeys to close out the opening round. He had 4 doubles over the course of the week. At Augusta, which is the first time to ever do it. And so I wonder if people give him credit for responding to nearly choking in a way, or I wonder if people are still hung up on the choke like Scheim.
I think when you win the whole thing and you get to wear your little jacket and you get to say you're a Grand Slam winner, I think that'll be kind of pushed to the side. You know, the equivalent in another sport might be, what, you like miss a free throw at the end of the game where you could have gone to overtime, you should hit a free throw, but then you play well in overtime and you win? Are people going to look back and be like, should have hit that free throw, you would have won in regulation. Like, you still won, you're still a champion. Or like a goalie giving up a really soft goal to go to overtime, but then it's lights out in overtime. It's like, you won. So I think once you've won, you can't really, like, this isn't Jean Vandeveld or some of these other like historic collapse. We've
you
seen
thought
collapses.
It was going to be, yeah.
Yeah, there's a chance. And if, you know, if Rose beats him in the playoff, then it certainly is a different story. But I don't know. It's hard to it's hard to really choke in a win. I appreciate Shime's take. I think it's good, well, but like, again, you still won.
And you had to watch. I mean, Rose, to a degree, seized it. I mean, he was awesome on the back nine, but...
Well, he dominated because he was really bad Saturday, right? He sucked on Saturday, well, kind of took himself out of contention and then just kind of threw himself back into it.
He
on
came
Sunday.
Out on fire the yeah. first couple of days. So the one thing I would say is Rory needed somebody else to have the bigger choke. And it was DeChambeau early in the day. Like, DeChambeau came out, and you're like, oh, God, he's going to run away with this thing. Rory already peed down his leg. DeChambeau's not going to mentally fall apart. And he mentally fell apart. And I would say the same thing about Rose. Despite all the birdies on the back nine, he still had a couple of bogeys mixed in. When he had an opportunity coming down the stretch, I mean, Rory just outshot him, outplayed him. But, you know, Rose, to a degree, I don't want to say fell apart, but somebody else had to outchoke Rory yesterday because Rory... Yeah. I don't know that he went out and took it necessarily. Other guys were complicit in the win. You don't take away historically from it.
Yeah.
But that's what made the drama so great yesterday, which honestly, if you watch, you know what I'm talking about. The drama yesterday of he's in the driver's seat, he's going to run away with it, to oh my God, it's close, to wow, he just blew the lead, to holy crap, I can't believe the shot where he just put that, and then he blows it again. That roller coaster yesterday, that's hard to replicate in other sports because of the head-to-head nature of golf on, you know, the back nine of a Sunday major. Like, that's hard to replicate in other sports. It was a good back and forth, high stakes drama yesterday.
And I know it's the Masters, so like a lot of people will tune in for it, but I just think in these individual sports, with, you know, you don't have the team, right? You're not just like rooting for the Red Sox. Like, you're rooting for a good story, I guess, but doesn't part of the pull is you're either rooting for or against somebody. And so like, that's what Tiger brought to the table. That's what like Mike Tyson brought to the table. That's what even like Federer or Nadal to a certain degree would bring to the table. Like, is there even that in golf?
But I think Rory has some of that.
Okay.
I think Rory does.
But do people like him?
I mean, I don't know. Good question. I don't follow the sport enough. I don't traditionally like Rory. Again, I was tailing bets,
that's a different story.
I had a financial investment.
Yeah, if you're betting, it's fine.
I don't know that people hate him as much as Shime. But like, even DeChambeau after the round yesterday was like, oh, he wasn't talking to me at all. I thought it was weird. It's like, all right, well, he's also...
Yeah.
Maybe he's locked in.
Doesn't DeChambeau have a whole thing with what's his name?
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit of pot meat kettle, but it's like, okay, like maybe there's an element of that with Rory. I don't pretend to follow. I'm no golf expert.
No.
I like Sundays at the majors. Like, I don't follow it much closer than that. I bet on it a little bit, but I don't follow it that closely. So somebody else would have to educate me on how Rory's viewed, but I think people know him.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's Rose and Oberg down the stretch, I don't even know if people have a strong, strong opinion on Scheffler. Maybe the incident last year at the Masters added
maybe.
To it.
I don't think so.
But I think Rory's one of the few where he's not Tiger, but he is somebody who you can sit down and go, I know this guy, and I have an opinion on him one way or the other.
Yeah, I get he might be the closest to it. I just feel like there isn't, when it was Tiger, Phil, and then the occasional, like, here's John Daly, you know, to wow you a little bit or drink or wear crazy pants. You're like, you had something there. Since then, I don't know. Now, I'm probably the wrong guy to talk about it. Like, I don't follow it super closely. I don't know how great the personalities are. And I look up and down the leaderboard, and there's nobody that I want that guy to win. There's also nobody that I'm like, I really hope that guy loses. Like, Rory and Rose.
You're right, because Tiger had the same thing.
Tiger had like, that, like, bang.
Either you liked him or you didn't. You know, like, way pre, you know, all the Perkins waitresses and everything else.
Yeah.
You either liked him or you didn't, and there was a lightning rod rooting interest.
But there was also the, I'm watching the best guy to ever do it, or maybe the best guy to ever do it. Now you're watching a bunch of really good golfers. Like, there's no, it doesn't feel like you're watching history like you had with Tiger. I guess by default, I would root for the American, just from, like, Ryder Cups and things like that. So when it comes down to McIlroy versus Rose, I'm like, I don't know, like double KO. Like, do they? Like, I'm good. Like, I didn't. It's not really for me. It'll be funny though to see. I don't know if they've come out with like the TV ratings and everything compared to previous years.
They have to be good.
I would think just the drama of it and coming down, because that's really what they're praying for. Like, minus the big time personality now, they're just praying for it mattering the final half hour.
It had that combination, and it's not going to be Tiger and Phil dueling it out, you know, on the back nine. Like, yeah. it's not going to be those level of ratings, but it's a guy people recognize. It's a guy people know. There's the drama of him going for the career slam. He's never done it at the Masters before. There's the drama of the tight top of a leaderboard. So I think that was a bit of a perfect storm for them yesterday, to be honest. So you can jump in. Are you happy for Rory? Was any part of you rooting for him to restore order in the sporting universe? And on top of that, are you bothered at all about Rory not talking to DeShane? I know you that doesn't bother you at all, Keith. You like that. It's like, you guys don't need to be...
Why you got to be best buds? How about a little rivalry?
So there was a little bit of that yesterday, too. On top of it, you can jump in at 617-779-7937. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. So we talked about a lot on the program today. I will get back into the Red Sox at the top of the show. When it comes to Garrett Crochet, going after the no-hitter is about the only good thing that happened all weekend for the Red Sox in what was a disastrous Red Sox weekend. We gave you some thoughts on the Celtics as well. Coming up, Keith.
Yes.
We've done quite a bit of draft talk. We're 10-plus days away. We told you earlier Field Yates is going to join us on Thursday, a week out from the draft at 10:30, so mark that down. You can hear it on the Odyssey app. Watch it on Twitch and on YouTube as well. We've talked a lot about the draft. Mock Draft Monday, the various positional groups. We'll get into the linebackers tomorrow at 10:45. We're going to unveil yet another draft segment coming up here.
Ooh, new wrinkle.
About 5 minutes from now. When it comes to all the top prospects, the top guys they could draft, from Travis Hunter to Abdul Carter, all the way down to Membu. Yeah, guys like this.
So it was mock draft today.
I want to start getting some data from Patriots fans on whether or not you would hate a pick or love a pick for the Patriots. Those are your options. If you like it, skew towards love. If you're okay about it but not really sure about it, skew towards hate. We're going to start tracking this.
Good.
Because I want empirical data going into the draft.
We won't throw it in your face next week.
I was just going to say, I want the numbers on Friday to throw into people. Oh, I thought you wanted Mason Graham.
I'll just use him for my research.
I thought you wanted Will Campbell. Yeah. Yep. So I want to start tracking this. We'll put up a Twitter poll where everybody can react. Hate it or love it, we're going to unveil that next.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download. Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Well, it's the start of another daily draft feature here on Jones and Keefe.
Wow.
Leading up to the NFL draft, 10 days, 8 hours, 14 minutes, 22, 21, 20 seconds, where the Patriots select, we think, at 4 on April 24th. We'll see if they move the pick. But each and every day here on Jones and Keefe, 11:45, we want to get your thoughts on an individual prospect and simply whether or not you would hate it or love it if the Patriots took that player at pick number 4. We'll start with a guy who I don't think they're going to get, Keith, but I want data on this anyway. Travis Hunter at pick 4. I know your answer, but do you hate it or love it if the Patriots got him at 4?
I love it. It's the most I could love anything. We're going to go through a bunch of names between now and then, and there's nothing more. Obviously, it's one or the other. This is like the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yes.
It's either up or down, right? Thumbs up or thumbs down. So there will be others that we talk about that I will give a love it to, but it won't outweigh how much I love this one. This would be...
Our scale can't measure how much you would love it. Got it.
If they just lost week 18 and they had the number one pick and they couldn't find any kind of trade down partner to add a million picks and they had to take a guy at 1, this is who I would take. I think he can play both sides at the next level. I have no idea how many snaps. I would throw a lot at him at first and see if he can do it. But you have a need still at wide receiver, a young wide receiver. But also, you can always use cornerbacks. I know they got Carlton Davis, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't be able to find some playing time there. He's a dynamic, special, generational-type talent, so I would be thrilled with this.
I would love it, as would Keith. And I can't I'm surprised at how polarizing he is. I don't really even get how polarizing he is.
So I'm starting to kind of get it, because we got this early on. This is one of the guys we've talked about the most in the last couple of months. And from taking calls and reading texts and tweets, there is like an anti-Deion bias for whatever reason. People don't like Deion. I guess that's fine.
So people don't like Deion, which I agree is fine.
But then they take it out on Hunter.
Well, that's what I don't get.
It's one thing if you don't like Shadur because you don't like Deion. There's a much closer relationship there and connection there. But Travis Hunter was a top-end high school player before he ever met Deion. Got recruited by all these places in the country. But they all were like, you got to play one side of the ball. Deion said you could play two. So he goes to Jackson State, and then Deion gets the job at Colorado. He goes there and only gets better, wins the Heisman last year. I like Deion, but even if you don't like Deion, I'm not putting that on Travis Hunter.
Well, and that's what I don't get. If people don't like Deion and he's polarizing, that's fine. You're wrong. I mean, people told me he wouldn't be good at Colorado. He's been great at Colorado. So I would disagree with you on Deion, but I at least get it. I don't get what's polarizing about Travis Hunter. I would love the pick. If he's available at four, which he probably won't be. But again, let's run the gamut here. Let's make sure we cover ourselves for players who may not be available, players who we know will be available, and then maybe they're players they're reaching on a little bit. This is a daily series. We're starting with Hunter, who right now, odds on, will go number two to Cleveland. I've said this about him a lot. I think he's the rare prospect who is super safe. I think you know he's going to be an NFL corner.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he's also an NFL receiver on top of it, he's high floor and super high ceiling. And I don't think that I don't think that comes along often.
Sounds like drafting two players.
Usually you're sacrificing one for the other. Right. You're going for a floor player, Will Campbell, who doesn't have much ceiling. Or you're swinging for the fences on a player who could whiff. I think Travis Hunter is the best of both worlds on that front. I would love the pick. You can vote now at Jones and Keefe. This is what we're going to do each and every day.
We're going to keep tabs on this.
Twitter poll. We'll track it. We're going to do this with each and every prospect we deem in the mix for the Patriots at pick number four, or even if they move down a few spots in the mix somewhere with their first pick.
So was that like eight guys we're going to have?
I think we're going to cover seven or eight leading into the draft. We have seven shows, depending on how we want to do it before draft day. So we're going to cover like seven or eight prospects. We'll track all of this, and we'll deem who you like the most, who you dislike the most, and then we'll have some numbers going into the pick on draft night on April 24th. So both Keefe and I love it. You can vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. Early returns, people would very much be on board with Travis
Good.
Hunter.
And this also blends the, you know, depending on how you feel about him as a wide receiver, it's both best player available in my mind and fits a need, which is kind of the best of both worlds, right? Because we said this team needs so much that you don't want to simply draft, you know, best player, or you don't want to go based on need solely. However, you have a lot of them, so this could be one where it checks both boxes.
No, I agree with that. And I'm more skeptical about him as a receiver than most. I'd still love the pick because I think he's not going to miss as a defensive player, and he has the upshot as a number one wide receiver.
Also, this is like a little bit lower down the line, but there is something too, and we talked about this the year that they got Drake May and even the Christian Gonzalez year. Just like how many entertaining players do you have? How many like jerseys are you selling to like kids? The must-see TV guys, like the entertainment product of the sport.
You shouldn't make your pick based on
that. No.
But for us, like selfishly, that's a good thing. Like a polarizing player, a player people are interested in. And for craft, for business, that's a good thing.
But even as a fan, I mean, it got to a point last year, those first five games with Jacoby Brissett, like what am I watching here? Like, what even is this? And not that Drake May was, you know, 50 touchdowns, no picks, but he went in there and you're like, all right, there's something to watch. You could see, especially as like a young kid, being like, all right, that's my favorite player now, and then go from there. Travis Hunter would have the same impact. Even a guy that's not a quarterback, he would have that kind of impact.
So first in this series, hate it or love it, on Jones and Keefe, we're going to get to Abdul Carter tomorrow. He's visiting the Patriots today. It's his fourth and final visit. So we'll get to Carter tomorrow, who right now is the odds-on favorite to go third. One pick before the Patriots, and we'll keep working our way down the list as we get to draft day on April 24th. Meantime, let's mix in some phone calls. This is Mike up in Maine. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. So yesterday, Justin Rose, out of the day, seven shots off the lead. Plays his heart out all day long, gets to the playoff hole, hits a great second shot, gives him a chance at the putt. And your takeaway is he choked?
Well, I mean, I think he was three over on Saturday. And I think every time he got the lead down the stretch yesterday, he bogeyed. He got the lead on, 13? And he bogeyed the next hole. He had the lead on 17, and he bogeyed that. So on some level, he choked it away. Yes. I know he was great on the back nine. But every time he got the lead, he gave a shot right back to Rory.
Oh, God, I'm glad I didn't have you as a high school teacher as far as grading. Okay. That's all I can say.
That's
have
true.
A great day.
I mean, it sounds right. like
hang in there, Mike.
You had an easy ride through high school, it sounds like. Gifted a bunch of A's and B's. Kids don't work for it anymore. I mean, look.
Finally, the Justin Rose supporters I was looking for.
If that sounds,
thank God somebody will stand up for Justin Rose.
But if that sounds harsh that Rose choked, maybe you think that's too strong, fine. DeChambeau choked. I mean, DeChambeau fell apart down the stretch, and that was the head-to-head competitor in Rose's group, and McElroy's group, rather. And I think to a degree, Rose kept choking it away down the stretch. His only bogey, he birdied basically everything, except when he got the lead and he fell apart a couple of different times. So on the playoff hole, did he choke it? No. But he choked it on Saturday when he had the lead and gagged that away.
Well, it's also,
and he choked it a couple of times on the back nine.
But wasn't Rose alone after day one atop the leaderboard.
Yes. So he, like, he came racing out of the gates. Yeah,
I mean,
you had the lead.
Technically, what is that? So if you have a big lead, I know it's only one round, but if you have a big lead after one and then you don't win the tournament, that technically I guess would be a choke.
But I guess if you want to speak up on behalf of Justin Rose,
finally,
we have more of that support
for you
than I.
You heard the call.
So we'll get back into all your thoughts on the Masters yesterday. Were you watching? These guys were not locked in, surprisingly.
No.
So we'll
let me ask you, were you awake the whole time? People say it's a good little snooze day.
I did. You know what?
You snoozed during
the
Masters?
I would have snoozed. I typically will snooze a lot.
Yeah, you had hams golf. Involved, though. I think people without hams involved might have taken a little snooze.
Hams involved everywhere. I had Oberg I was watching
Oberg
down the stretch.
No, I heard a lot about this Oberg. He didn't win you anything.
No, he didn't.
Ludwig Oberg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I call him Lou. I feel like me and Lou are
Lou Berg.
Bet him top five, and he frittered that away.
Seventh. Yeah, sad.
Yeah, no. I just needed a stroke there, Lou. That's all I needed.
He just
seven.
Yeah, it's too much.
On many levels.
It's too much.
Is all I needed. But when it comes to the Masters yesterday.
Oh, I need to dump that?
Gross.
Were you watching? And
you that was a rejoin two rejoins ago.
What was that?
Billy Squire, the stroke.
We got a handful of texts about that.
Yeah, we did.
When that came in. Yeah. So we'll get to some thoughts on that again at 617-779-7937. Were you watching? You happy for Rory McIlroy? And we'll get back into the Red Sox. They're terrible, no good weekend, despite a great start at a Garrett Crochet. That's next.